Morning, today's daf in Nedarim is daf Beis. That would mean that we are starting Masechta Nedarim this morning. After the conclusion of Ksuvos, we are now embarking on a new Masechta having to do with Neder. It's a nice confluence of events where not only are we starting the Masechta Nedarim, but also this week's Parsha, Parshas Nosa, where the Torah actually tells us about the Halachas of Nedarim. So it's a nice confluence in terms of Shabbos Parsha and the Masechta that we are about to embark on. But Shabbos Parsha will be over by the end of this week, and then meanwhile the Masechta will stay with us for a while. Okay, Masechta Nedarim is found in Seder Nashim for reasons that are not perfectly obvious. The most salient point that connects the Masechta with Seder Nashim. There are only seven Masechtas in total in Seder Nashim. Seder Nashim has got the smallest amount of Masechtas. But Nedarim is found in Seder Nashim having to do with the fact that a husband has a right to be mefer the Nedarim of his wife. So after learning what creates a marriage, so now that we know what creates a marriage and at what point does all the obligations of marriage begin, so then we're going to understand very well at what point exactly the husband can be mefer the Neder, which is a large point in Nedarim. But it's a large point in Nedarim, but it's not the only thing that has to do with Nedarim. As you'll see over the course of today and the next, and as we go through the Masechta, there are many other aspects, basic aspects of Nedarim that need to be explained and explored. There's a couple of unique features about the Masechta. If we could just talk more globally, more generally, and then we'll start with the Masechta itself. And that is, number one, we lost Rashi. We don't have Rashi in the Masechta. Now, there is a perish on the side, on the inside of the page, that on the top declares itself to be Rashi, but it's probably not Rashi. It's probably another Rishon who realized that there was an absence of Rashi and therefore took the role of Rashi. But most probably it's not Rashi. So therefore, it is traditionally learned that when the Masechta is learned, it's learned with the parish of the Ran. Rabbeinu Nisim usually did not make it onto the side of the page of any Masechta. The Ran is usually put in the back of the Gemara as a commentary to the Rif. But the Ran is what we're going to essentially use. As you can just see, you don't have to go that far. You can just stay on the first Amud, and you will see that the Ran is a whole different style than that of Rashi. Rashi, just for a moment, we get to compare and contrast styles of commentaries to the Gemara. Rashi writes very succinctly. Rashi just is interested in one objective and one goal, and that is to explain the Gemara. Rashi does not sit there with, there's another Gemara that says this over there and another Gemara that says that over there, and how do I make shalom with all the Gemaras? Rashi doesn't do that. There are occasions where Rashi does that, but that's very strange and that's an anomaly within Rashi. But generally speaking, Rashi is there to just give us a simple pshat in the Gemara. Most of the other Rishonim, including Rashi's own grandchildren, Tod the Balei HaTosfos, so they don't have that style. Their style of explaining the Gemara is taking into consideration all the other Gemaras that seem to object to our Gemara and trying to make some sort of shalom between all the Gemaras, or not to make shalom. But in other words, but it's always an approach of taking all the Gemaras into consideration when explaining our Gemara. And so therefore the Ran follows that path of explanation, and that's why the Ran is writing more extensively. Also, just the Gemara itself, another unique feature about Masechta Nedarim, the Gemara itself doesn't have the same exact language as other Masechtas. I'll give you an example of that today as we go through the Gemara, but just if you're used to just regular Gemara terminology, the Masechta itself is does not work exactly with that terminology. It's almost going to sound a little bit, and I don't really have the right to say this, I have not gone through enough Yerushalmi to make this kind of comment, but it almost sounds a little bit like Yerushalmi-esque in terms of its tone and its tenor, but it's you'll see it doesn't exactly read like a regular Gemara Bavli. So these are some of the unique features of Masechta Nedarim. After that point in time, you can conjecture in terms of why there isn't a Rashi and why the language of the Gemara is a little bit different, but I'll leave that for conjecture, meaning I'm not going to I'll leave that for others to conjecture. I myself am not going to make any suggestions. I don't have knowledge in terms of why these subtle differences, but those are subtle differences. Okay. Let's do the following. Obviously, we have a mission that we need to begin, and the first Amud, as you can see, is very short. But let's do the following. Let's take a look at the first Ran. And you're going to really appreciate, I'll speak personally, I really appreciate the Ran. The Ran is great. The Ran really takes you step by step through the whole process of the Gemara. He assumes that you know nothing, which is fantastic. And then what he does is he just walks you through, and he holds your hand, and he just basically says, here's the general issues, here's what's going on now, and he really is just a beautiful parish on the Gemara. So let's begin with the first Ran. The first Ran is going to... It's going to just give us the ABCs, so at least we know now what we're talking about. Kol kinui nedarim. So I start today with the first run of the Masechta. I know it's lengthy, but it's going to be worth it because it really gives us the basics so that we have a handle on what's going on right now. And pun intended, and if you don't understand the pun, it's because you haven't seen the run yet. So we'll get a handle on the Gemara. Kol kinui nedarim. The run starts off, nedahu be'echad mishnei yanim. When we talk in terms of nedarim, nedarim are broken down into two categories. Im nid Hekdesh. By the way, just in case you got lost, the Ran is on the left side of the page, not the right side of the page. Right side of the page is the Rashi, or you know, the alleged Rashi. I'm working on the left side of the page, the Ran. So im nidrei hekdesh hu makdish lebedek habayis olam mizbeach. So category number one of hekdesh is something where I dedicate something to either the bedek habayis, temple upkeep, or to the mizbeach. Okay, what we normally refer to as hekdesh. Now, so if I am using neder in this context of dedicating something to either Bedek HaBayis or the Mizbeach, and Yochol HaKdish Ela Mashu Shalom. So first of all, you can only do it for something that you have full ownership over. The Isuru Kol HaKol Adam. And on top of that, it becomes objectively prohibited to not only you, but to everybody. Meaning it becomes a Cheftso Shel Hekdesh. So if I say, I make myself a neder that this animal is going to be brought as a carbon, so I could use the terminology of neder. But now this animal, A, it has to be mine. If it's not mine, so then there's no chalos, there's no effectiveness to what I'm saying. And B, once I transform this animal into a carbon, so then it's also to everybody. That's one form of neder. So that's called neder, nidrei hekdesh. On the other hand, there's another category of neder, and that's nidrei iser. Nidrei iser sha'asar al atzmo dvarim hamutarim. I take something which is generally permitted to me, and I make it prohibited through a neder. So here now, first notable change between nidrei hekdesh and nidrei iser. When it comes to nidrei iser, I can make something prohibited, and I don't have to have ownership over that item. Meaning something that belongs to you, I can make prohibited to me. Now, I can't transform that item, but I can make it prohibited to me. And the iser does not become objectively usur. So that glass of water that you're drinking, that cup of coffee that you're drinking, if I say that that item becomes prohibited to me through an neder, so now it becomes prohibited to me. Certainly doesn't become prohibited to you. It's not nidrei hekdesh, it's nidrei iser. And so therefore the item will become prohibited to me. Now, so we have basically two categories of neder. Nidrei hekdesh, nidrei iser. Now, from this point going forward, now that you know about category A, that's not what we're talking about. Right? Leave that aside. That's not our Masechta. Our Masechta is on category B, Nidrei Iser. Shema Shoshanakan Charamim Kecharamim. And even though you're going to see a terminology, we'll see in the Mishnah in just a moment. Of charamim ke charamim, haynu mishum shaloshin charamim kishem shu kol chamei bedek habayis kachu kol nidrei iser. Meaning, you're going to see very often that we're going to borrow terminology that normally is used for hekdesh, and we're going to use it for iser. That's exactly the point of our Mishnah. Not because we're talking about hekdesh, we're not talking about hekdesh. We're talking about iser, nidrei iser. But we get to borrow terminology. Kedinan lakaman. We're going to see a Mishnah later on. Hareini alecha cherem hamuda aser. Hare et alai cherem hamadir aser. So we'll get to the Gemara later on, but again, it's just the Ran's point is that this is just simply bar terminology. In fact, you want to learn about Cherme Bedek HaBayis? So the Ran says you're in the wrong Seder. Forget the wrong Masechta, you're in the wrong Seder. In other words, you want to learn about the Beis HaMikdash and the Dharm as it relates to Karban and the Bedek HaBayis? So wait. In other words, we're going to get finished Seder Nashim, and then we have Seder Nezikim, and then when we get around to Seder Kachim, so then we'll learn about Nidrei Hekdesh. But right now we're talking strictly about Nidrei Isser. Okay, good. So that is point number one. So if you want to now have everything nice and organized, there are two forms of Nedarim. Nidre Hektesh, Nidre Isser. Our Masechta, strictly talking about Nidre Isser, not Nidre Hektesh. Again, just the two basic differences. Nidre Hektesh, you have to have full ownership in order to establish it to be Nidre Hektesh. And two, it becomes objectively ushered to you and to everybody else. However, Nidre Isser, you don't have to have full ownership over the item in order to create something prohibited to you. And if you make something prohibited to you through a neder, through Nidre Isser, it only becomes prohibited to you and not to everybody else. That is all point number one. Point number two of the Ran. Nidre Isser heim be'echa mishlosha drachim. Now, even within Nidre Isser, so now let's subdivide that into three different categories. And that means as follows. Iker ha-neder, the main neder, you'll see what that means in just a moment. Kinuyav, nicknames, again, we'll see what that means in just a moment, and yados, and handles. And let's go through each one of them. The Ran goes through each one of them. It's just continuing in the Ran. Iker nedahu shiomar davar zeh asur alai, bein shehitfisu badavar acher, bein shelo hitfisu zehu neder hamor b'torah. You want to know what the Torah, when the Torah describes neder, this week's Parsha, when the Torah describes neder, the Torah is talking about, or I identify something as prohibited to me. Either with hatfasa or without hatfasa. You're going to hear me use that terminology a lot over the course of this masechta. Let's acquaint ourselves with this kind of language. When I say with hatfasa, well, let's start off without hatfasa. That's easier. When I say without hatfasa, it's very simple. It just simply means that that coffee that you're drinking, I'm making that prohibited to me. Good. In other words, that's a simple, straightforward neder where something was permitted, and through my declaration of neder, I made it prohibited. Good. That is without hatfasa. Now there's with hatfasa. What does hatfasa mean? First of all, the word tofes means to grab. Well, what am I grabbing over here? What I'm saying is as follows. With hatfasa, I'm saying that coffee is going to be like a carbon. Just like a carbon is going to be prohibited to me, so too that coffee is going to be prohibited to me as well. I equate that item with something which is prohibited. Now that's what's called hatfasa. Ela de'ika she'itfisa be'inyan she'itfisan bedavar ha'nador v'la bedavar ha'asar. A rule that we're going to see over the course of this Masechta, but the Ran's introducing us to it, is that if I'm going to use hatfasa, it has to go like this. I have to, in order to make that cup of coffee prohibited to me, I have to equate it with something that was once permitted and then becomes prohibited, like a carbon. Carbon's a perfect example where the animal at one point was permitted to me, and then it becomes a carbon, it becomes prohibited to me. So the only way that I could use a language of hatfasa is if I compare that coffee to a carbon. If let's say I take that coffee and I compare it to chazer, to the meat of a pig, that's not good. Because the meat of the pig is something that was always usher to me. So in other words, that doesn't have the neder model to it because it just simply was not something that was permitted and then becomes prohibited. That's something that was always prohibited. And the Ran goes on to say, Kedamina Beresh Perak Shvuah, Shtayim Basra. Look at Masechta Shvuah, the last two parakim. My time is Amakrak, he idur neder la Hashem. And the reason why is because of the text of the Torah. The Torah says, ki yidur neder la Hashem. The double language, yidur neder. Ash yidur bedavar hanador. If you're going to use hatfasa, it has to be, I'm taking something and comparing it to something which is neder-like. Like I just explained. Klaumar, sha'afal pisha neder chal b'lo hatfasa. Now, I didn't need to do hatfasa. I could just simply point to that coffee and say that coffee is asked to me. But afil hachi imit fisu, but if I'm going to use the path of hatfasa, b'inishit fisu and b'davar hanador. It has to be, I'm comparing it to something which was once permitted and then becomes prohibited like a carbon. V'lo b'davar ha'asar k'mo shekas after sham b'siyata d'shmaya. Fine. Hilkach, hecha shehit v'zvamar harei kikar zeh like a carbon. So if I point to a loaf of bread and I say that loaf of bread is going to be to me like a carbon, so chayel nedereha, so that your neder is going to be chal, that's an effective neder, v'ikar neder who's there. And that is what we call the main category of neder, meaning that's prime neder. Good. That's all ikar neder. Now we move on. Number two. The kinui of hu sheba malkum carbon yomer konam konach kones. Now what's kinui? So, kinui is basically a nickname. I don't use the word carbon, but I use another form of the word. What does that mean, another form? Well, I'll just give you the examples which we're going to see time and again throughout our Masechta. I say the word koname, you're usually going to see the word koname. Koname, what does the word koname mean? It doesn't. It's a nickname of the word carbon. Koname, konach, kones. The chol sha'amar ken harehu asar ki'ilu amar karban, alai kikar zeh. As long as you use one of these valid nicknames, so it's as if you said the word karban. And this is what, this is now category number two. This is kinuyim. And that's the first point we're going to see together in our Mishnah. That the nickname, nickname works just as much as a straightforward neder would work as well. Now, why do nicknames work? So the Ran's going to introduce this. We're not going to see this today in the Gemara. This is coming up later in our Masechta. But it's a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And so let's just introduce ourselves to it right now. And in the Gemara, in a future day, we're going to see it. So, Uvahani Kinuyim Pliga Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. A basic debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Why do Kinuyim work? Meaning, in order to affect a neder, what I have to say is that this item is like a karban. But I don't have to say the word karban. I could use other languages. Well, I just gave away one of the answers. But I could use other words. I could use words like koname and konach, which don't have any inherent meaning. And they work, and why does it work? So that's the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Bigmara. De Rav Yochanan amar lashon adarim haim, v'Reish Lakish amar lashon shabad alam chachamim, lios no jimbo. So, I messed up one of the words. Let me go back. Let me read that again because I messed up an important word. Rav Yochanan Amar Lashon Nachriim Haim. Okay, that's important. According to Rav Yochanan, you know what it is? It's another language. In other words, it's carbon just used in a different language. That's all. And Reish Lakish Amar Lashon Shabadulam Chachamim Lios Nojimbo. And according to Reish Lakish, you know what these languages are? Koneim, Kones, Konech. They're manufactured words. Words that the Chachamim used for us to use instead of the word karban. Now, Ula Rav Yochanan Damar Lashon Achrim Heim Vaday Hanoda Behem Kenoda BeIkar Karban Shenadar Neamarim Heim B'Chol Lashon. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, when it's karban, just a different language. So, for sure, I just said in a different language, but for sure, it means karban. What the Ran is going to do, and here we're going to skip just a little bit, because then he's going to make an argument that according to Reish Lakish, it's also an Isser Durabanan. I'm sorry. It's also an Isser Daraisa as well. Meaning, even though it's manufactured language, Ran makes an interesting point, but I'm going to say it outside, because I do want to get through the daf today. I'll say it outside. The Ran's point is, and it's a very interesting point, he says, you know what language really is? Language is just simply, we agree. Now this may not be true by Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh may and probably does have, an intrinsic value to it. But in other words, but generally speaking, language is, we agree that this is a big distraction. This is a cell phone, right? In other words, they're just words that we use that we agree upon, so that you and I now know how to communicate and what we're describing. So even according to Reish Lakish, who says that koneim and konach and kones, they're manufactured language, but so what? It's manufactured. In other words, once we have a haskama, once we agree that that's what it's referring to, so then that's what it's referring to, and it operates even on a Torah level. That if I make a neder using a language, that even though it's not a word, it's a fictitious word, but as long as we now have an agreement of what that word means, so then it works as well. So then the Ran goes on to say that even according to Reish Lakish, who says that koneim and kones are manufactured language, it still operates on a Torah level. Good. Let us move right along. We are going to skip now. Oh, one other point the Ran makes, which I'll say outside, another interesting point. According to Rav Yochanan, what are these words? So they're words that are said in other languages. Right? They koneim, konech. Now you'll ask me what language it's in, and I don't have the answer. I don't know. Whatever other language it may be in, but it's another language. So the Ran just asks a very simple question. If that's true according to Rav Yochanan, why doesn't the Gemara explain that the Chiddush is that if I say carbon in another language, let's say I say the word sacrifice. Okay, that's English for carbon. So why isn't the Mishnah's entire point that if I say the word in another language, it works? Right? Then in other words, there's nothing intrinsic about a kinui, it's just the word carbon in a different language. So the Ran goes on to explain, maybe there's a bigger Chiddush, even within the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And the bigger Chiddush is that even slang is an acceptable form. Meaning, this is it's an issue that's been around for a long time. Meaning, there are words that are accepted, and then there are words that we create as part of our language, what we would call slang. So what if I don't use the actual precise word as found in the Oxford Dictionary, but let's say I use slang terminology? Even according to Rav Yochanan, slang terminology is considered a valid usage of language, and therefore, and it's a kinui, and therefore it will work. In fact, the Ran points out, and again, I'm just going over this point outside, the Ran points out that usually when we say kinui, that actually refers to a nickname, right? Some sort of slang language, right? Hamechan Hashem L'chaver, the Gemara Bava Metzia. It means I created a nickname for somebody. It's not his name, just, you know, it's a name that come up. Happens to be the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if it's a, and Rashi over there writes that if it's a name that's demoralizing, a nickname that's demoralizing, so then that's a violation of Manas Devarim. Okay, that, meaning that's not good. Okay, anyway, let's move on. We're going to skip now in the Ran to get to number three, and that's Yados. Okay, in the Ran, it's about two-thirds of the way down. Sorry, I know it's a very big piece in the Ran, but just it gives us the basics. And Yados Nadarim, it's the last three words in the line. It's about two-thirds of the way down in the Ran from the top. And the last three words start off, V'yados Nadarim Hu. And let's just introduce ourselves now to the third main point within Nidre Isser. Again, within Nidre Isser, there's Iker Neder, which we already explored. There's Kinuyim, which we already explored. And now there's Yados Nedarim. And what is that? So the Ran goes on to explain. Shemascha b'mikses dibur shel neder. There, you don't even formulate the entire sentence. You say part of a sentence. Ela she'enu gomer oso. V'oso mikses adibra have ki'ilu noder. And meanwhile, the fact that you said part of the sentence is as if you said the entire sentence. Kol hashlamos hadibur ka'adam ha'ucheiz kli bebeis yad shalo u'metaltalo. He says, by way of analogy, you know what it's like? It's like when you take a jug, but you hold it by its handle. So you don't have to hold the entire jug. All you need to do is hold the handle, and by holding the handle, you're holding the whole jug. Same thing with the formulation of a neder. You don't even need to articulate the entire sentence. If you say just part of it, we'll discuss which part you need to say. If you discuss part of it, that's ki'ilu, as if you said the entire thing. And the Ran says, and later on we're going to explain what yados are. Good. I know we haven't read a word of the Mishnah or the Gemara yet, but that's already a lot of information to absorb and really to walk away with from today's daf, because it's all very basic. So again, just in terms of organization, you have Nidre Hektish, Nidre Isser. Nidre Hektish, that's not what we're going to be talking about on Masechta. We go to Seder Kachim and we'll learn about Nidre Hektish. But that has to be yours and it becomes objectively Usser. Nidre Isser, which is our Masechta, so it doesn't have to belong to you. It could, but it doesn't have to belong to you. And it does not become objectively Usser. Becomes Usr only vis-a-vis you. Within Nidre Isser, there are three categories within Nidre Isser. Iker Neder, Kinuyim, Yados. Iker Neder, where I declare this item to be prohibited to me, either by saying it's prohibited to me or by using a language of Hatfasa, comparing it to another thing which was Mutter and then becomes prohibited, like a Karban. Kinuyim, even if I don't say the word Karban, but I use other forms that mean carbon, it means carbon because it's other another language, that's Rav Yochanan, or it's because it's manufacturer language, that's Reish Lakish. Either way, kinuyim also is an acceptable substitute. So instead of saying the word carbon, I say konam. And then finally, yad. I don't even have to formulate the full sentence. If I say part of a sentence, that's considered as if I made the entire neder. Okay? Basics. ABCs, literally in this case, ABC of Nedarim. Let's start the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, called Kinuyim Nedarim Ke Nedarim. Nicknames of a Neder has the same effect as a Neder. Charamim Ke Charamim. Nicknames of Cherem is like the Cherem itself. Now again, the Ran, just reminding each other. The Ran says it's not. This is not talking about Bedek Habayis. This is talking about using the word Cherem in the context of a Neder. Ushvuos kishvuos. And if I use a language of shvua, that also makes something prohibited to me as well through a shvua. Neder shvua, similar? Yes, or similar, but later this morning we're going to make a very basic distinction between neder and shvua. Stay tuned. Naziros kineziros. Also, if I use a nickname of a nazir, that would work as if I said the word nazir itself. The Ran gives some examples of what a nickname for a nazir would be. Naziach. We'll see more of that later on as well. Ha'omer lechavero, mudrani mimcha. Now, if I say to my friend, I will become prohibited from you. Mufreshani mimcha, I will be separated from you. Mirchukani mimcha, I will be distanced from you. Sha'ani ochalach, that which I eat from you, shani toim lach, that which I taste from you, asar. Well, that would be prohibited. What's the point of the Mishnah over here? Well, the Mishnah over here is describing kinuyim? No. What's the Mishnah doing right now? It's describing yad. Meaning, even though you didn't formulate the entire sentence, you only said, mudrani mimcha, I become prohibited from you. Mufreshani mimcha, I become separated from you. As the Ran explains, you didn't say the word usr. Or as the Ran suggests as well, you didn't, you didn't say kikarban. In other words, you left out part of the sentence, but nevertheless that works because that functions as a yad. Now, menuda anilach, what if your language is, I'm excommunicated from you, a somewhat ambiguous language over there? Rabbi Akiva hayachochich bezelahatmer, Rabbi Akiva literally itched and scratched, and in other words, he wavered back and forth on whether or not this language is in fact a neder, and he sided on the side of being machmer. That last line of Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara later on will explore in much greater detail. Okay. Structurally, the Mishnah is a little bit odd. And I'm just introducing us to the first point of the Gemara. In other words, what happened to the Mishnah? The Mishnah has a heading. The heading of the Mishnah is that kol kinuyin nedarim kinedarim v'charam kecharamim, meaning the heading of the Mishnah is that, here, let me introduce you to the idea of kinuy. And then, after introducing us to the idea of kinuy as a heading, then the Mishnah went on to explore issues of yados. And there was no heading for yados. So stay tuned, because just in a moment, the Gemara is going to ask that very question. But first, the Gemara asks another question. And that is, we're on the very top of Beis Amud Beis, kol kinuy nedarim kinedarim. Our Mishnah says that the nicknames of neder have the status of a neder. Maishna gabi nazir delo ketani lehu lekulu, umaishna gabi nedarim dektani lekulu. Now, it's not fair because we haven't learned Masechta Nazir yet, so we're not really in touch with what the Gemara is asking right now. Okay, if you look at the beginning of Masechta Nazir, so the opening of Nazir is nearly identical to what we just saw a moment ago in our Mishnah. Opening up to the first page of Masechta Nazir, it's in the same my same volume. Kol kinuy nazirus kinaziros. Period. Ha'omer, and then the Mishnah goes on to explain. So in other words, in Masechta Nazir, so what just happened? Same opening, but the Mishnah over there only discusses Nazir and nothing other than Nazir. Meanwhile, our Mishnah gives us like a very global introduction. Neder, Cherem, Shvua, Nazir. What's the difference between our Masechta and that of Nazir? Maishnai gabi Nazir, delo ketani lehu lekulu. O maishnai gabi Nedarim, dektani lekulu. Why over here are we exploring every avenue of Neder? And why by Nazir are we only exploring Nazir? So the Gemara answers very simply. Mishum de Neder ushvua ksiva gabi hadade. So tani tartin. So first of all, when you open up this week's Parsha, you're going to find that in this week's Parsha, you have the word Neder and Shvua written within the same Pasuk. So you can't say Neder without Shvua, because in the Pasuk, they're both there. Good. They came into Nitarte Tanilakulu. Now that we got two of them covered, you know what? Just keep going. So then mention Shvua. I'm sorry. Then mention Nazir. Then mention Charamim. Okay, so that's why we use all the terminology. So the Gemara says, really? So the driving force of our Mishnah, in terms of why it articulates everything, is because in one pasuk you have both Neder and Shvua. So if that's what's driving our Mishnah, so why doesn't our Mishnah have Neder, and immediately following Neder, then have Shvua? The Gemara says as follows. I did the Tani Dara and the Mitzvah Cheftala, Tani Nami Charam and the Mitzvah Cheftala. La Afuki Shvua de Ka'asar Nafshe Min Chefta. And here the Gemara now gives a fundamental difference between what is a neder and what is a shvua. So without going through the detail, we'll get through the detail in just a moment, then you will look back at our Mishnah and then you understand. Our Mishnah is driven by the fact that neder shvua is both found in the pasuk. And therefore our Mishnah, once it mentions neder, will mention shvua. But categorically, neder and shvua are not the same. So what our Mishnah is going to do is it's going to take things which belong in one category, lump them together, and take something which is in another category and lump that together as well. Neder and Cherem are categorically the same. Shvua is its own separate category. And therefore, that's why our Mishnah goes Neder, Cherem, category 1, And then Shvua, category two. Okay, now let's understand what makes them categorically different. So the Gemara essentially says it. So let's go over the Gemara again. The Gemara says, I did the Tanin Nedarim de Mitzvah Chefza Alah. By Neder, what I'm doing is, I'm making that object forbidden to me. So, I say that cup of coffee, sorry, I'm picking on your cup of coffee. It's done already, huh? There's nothing to talk about. When I say that cup of coffee to me is a Neder, right? Like a carbon, like a konam. So essentially now, the Isser is not on me per se, the Isser is on the coffee, on the chafetz, on the object. That object becomes prohibited to me. Shvuah, on the other hand, and let me just finish the thought of the Gemara, cherem is the same thing. When I declare something a cherem, I'm making the object forbidden to me. It's a chafetz. The mitzvah chafetz alaha. Shvuah, on the other hand, the Gemara says, the ka'asar nafshei min chafetz. But when it comes to shvuah, I become prohibited to the cup of coffee. So in other words, it's a famous, but when I say famous, it's in the Gemara. But it's a famous distinction of chefza versus gavra, an object versus a person. Neder is on the object. Now shvua is on the person. It yields the same result. In the worlds of making a distinction, it is a great distinction. It does yield, however, the same result. Either I can't drink that coffee because that coffee is prohibited, or I can't drink that coffee because I'm prohibited from drinking the coffee. Good, And analytically, it's great. In terms of the result, it's the same result. But the Ran over here says, yeah, that's true, but here comes the difference. The Ran writes, we're looking at the Ran on the Amud Beis. ID Detana Nedarim de Mitzvah Chefetz Alei Klamar. Okay, the Ran is four lines down from the top of the page. Klamar. Sha'osar Kikar Allah Va'omer Achilas Kikar Zer Alayla Afuke Shvua De Asar Nafshei Min Chefetz. Good, that's just a repetition of what the Gemara said. Klomer. Shomer shvua shalo uchal kikar zeh. When you make a shvua, you say, I'm not going to eat this. Now, umeham ashma, de in shvua b'lashon neder, v'lo neder b'lashon shvua. So now the Ran says, based on what we just learned in the Gemara, now it will make a difference in the following. I can't make a neder using a lashon of shvua. I can't make a shvua using a lashon of neder. Hilkach, so the Ran introduces us to a chiddush, and that is that if I make a neder, now again, how do I know it's a neder? Because I'm focusing on the object. I say that cup of coffee is, and then if I say the word neder or carbon or konam or anything like that, check. But if I say that cup of coffee to me is a shvua, that's not good, because I'm focusing on the cup of coffee. And I have to use the right terminology of neder. And if I use the terminology of shvua, it just simply doesn't work. It's simply an A. It's not applicable. That coffee can't become a shvua. However, let's say I start from my vantage point. I become prohibited to that coffee through a neder. No good. Because now that I put the focus on me, so once I put the focus on me, I have to use the terminology of shvua. Neder doesn't work. So the Ran says that even though it does result the same, but because they are fundamentally different, so therefore a neder using the language of shvua doesn't work. Shvua using the language of neder doesn't work as well. Now, the Ran goes on to support this idea. The Ran points out that not everyone's in agreement with this chiddush of his, and please continue through the rest of the Ran for all that discussion. But that's the Ran's big takeaway from our Gemara.
Doesn't Nazir have both components?
Now, Danny, you asked a great question. And I'll ask the same question as well. Although I'm not going to have an answer. Although I did come prepared for the question, I don't have an answer. Meaning, now that we know that we have two different categories to work with. We have the Neder, which is a prohibition of an item onto you. And we have Shvua, which is a prohibition of you onto an item. So now, if you look back at the Mishnah, look at the structure of the Mishnah. The Mishnah has neder and cherem, okay, that's all object driven. We have shvua, which is you driven. And then the Mishnah introduces us to nazir at the end. So if I worked with the structure of the Mishnah, so then I would say nazir is going on you, not on the item. Now, if before the Ran and before today, you would have asked me the question, is nazir more like a neder or is it more like a shvua? I think intuitively I would have said, not because I'm right, and I'm just giving you my best guess, I would have said, that's just more like a neder.
Huh? Yeah, prohibiting things to you like a grave.
But it's more like a shiva because it's the person himself. Like
okay, good. Good. Correct. After having gone through this run, I mean, the run doesn't talk about nazir. But after having gone through this run, I would humbly suggest that it's more like a shvuah than that of a than that of a neder. Okay, so that I anticipated the question, although I don't have a great answer. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Pasach bikinuim kol kinuim nedarim, and here now the Gemara is bothered with the problem that I raised when we learned the Mishnah. There's a heading to the Mishnah, and then there are examples in the Mishnah, and there's no agreement. The heading of the Mishnah is about kinuim, the nicknames. Meaning, if I use a nickname, that's just as good as using the name itself. Instead of carbon, I use konam. That's the heading. And then the Mishnah goes on to explore what examples? Examples of yados, where I don't make the full sentence. I say part of a sentence, and that's acceptable. But that's a whole different category. So the Gemara is bothered by this very question. Kol kinui nedarim, I'm sorry. Pasach bikinuin, kol kinui nedarim, umefarash yados. Haomer lechaver, umodani memcha. Visu, yados inshi. And it's like the Mishnah forgot about yados. Right? That expression, visu yados inshi. When you read when you read a Gemara Bavli, like that's not how the Gemara usually formulates the question. Visu yados inshi. Right? The Gemara usually would say something like, mibai lameimar. It should have said. So here, just an example, a small example of the nusach of our Gemara being a little bit different than a standard Bavli Gemara. Anyway, Ari Bahon v'chesuri mechsera. So the Gemara says, the way we're going to learn our Mishnah, like the Gemara traditionally learns the Mishnah, is that there's a missing piece of Mishnah, and we're going to have to do is we're going to fill in the missing blank, so then we understand now how the Mishnah flows. And here's how it goes. V'hachi ketani. Kol kinu nedarim kinedarim, v'yados nedarim kinedarim. The nicknames of a neder have the same status of a neder. And yados nedarim kinedarim. And handles of a neder have the same status as the entire neder. Meaning, in the heading, we're going to have to say that the actual Mishnah gave us both headings, kinuyim and yados. And just for our purposes, you'll see why I'm doing this, we're going to call that A and B. Kinuyim being A, that's the first point the Gemara says, and yados being B. Another interesting point the Ron makes, I'll say it outside, and that's the following. The Ron says, the Gemara will never tamper with the first words of the Mishnah. Meaning, why not, we're editing the Mishnah, right? We're teasing with the wording of the Mishnah. Why not just simply say, instead of Kol Kinuyim Nedarim, why don't we just simply say, as an easy way to resolve this whole problem, why not say Kol Yados Nedarim? Because the Mishnah anyway goes on to describe Yados. So why don't we just change a word and say Kol Yados Nedarim? The Ron says we're not going to do that, and I'll tell you why. And it's interesting, it's after the Ron said it, I'm like, hey, he's right. Meaning, I'm you go over all the times the Gemara says Chesur Mechsura, and he's absolutely right. Chesur Mechsura, writes the Ron, is always a missing piece in the middle. In other words, by Chesur Mechsura, we never attack the first statement made in the Braisa. It's always something in the middle of the Braisa, or in this case, a Mishnah, which is missing. But the beginning is always left put. So we're not going to, Kol Kinui Nedarim, that has to stay. Once it has to stay, so now we're going to edit a little bit the Mishnah, or we're going to add a little bit to the Mishnah, so we're going to have to add something after the word Kol Kinui Nedarim. That's the Ron's explanation of why the Gemara, after going through Chesur Mechsura, will not tamper with the first words of the Mishnah. So, again, just to reread the answer of the Gemara, Chesur Mechsura v'hachi ketani. Kol kinuyim nedarim kinedarim. Good, that's our Mishnah. Nicknames are just like the original words themselves. And yados nedarim kinedarim. And half sentences are like full sentences. Good. So now, how is the Mishnah presenting itself? A, kinuyim. B, yados. And then what does the Mishnah do? The Mishnah goes on to explain yados. So the formula of the Mishnah is A, B. That's the heading. And then in terms of explanation, B, and then we're going to have to assume, at a later point in the Masechta, we'll go back to A. V'lifrish kinuyim bereisha, So the Gemara says, so how come the structure of the Mishnah is A, B, then as headings, and then B, A in terms of explanation? How, so the Gemara explains, how the Salak Mineh, who Mefarish Bereisha. Gemara says, really, stylistically, that's very popular in the Mishnayos. To give a heading of A and B, and then to give an explanation of B, A. Meaning, as long as we just finished in the heading B, so let me explain B. And then later, the Mishnah is going to come back to A.
Gemara does that.
The Gemara does it, and stylistically, the Mishnah does it. And the Gemara says, and just in case you don't remember, the Gemara is going to give us a lot of examples of this. Ein madlikin. Second parak of the Mishnayos and Shabbos. We're familiar. Ashkenazim say it between Kabbal Shabbos and Maariv. And as I just learned, Sfarnim also say between... Okay, the good this just in. So the second parak of the Mishnayos and Shabbos. So, Bameh Madlikin, that's A. What do you light with? Uvama'in Madlikin, what don't you light with? All the oils and wicks that are acceptable and not acceptable. And then which one does the Mishnah explain first? Ein Madlikin, so it's AB, followed then by an explanation of B, and then later the Mishnah goes back to A. Bameh Tomnim, Vama'in Tomnim. Hatmana, fourth parak of Masech to Shabbos. What do you insulate with and what do you not insulate with? Some materials are you can and some you cannot. And you remember the fourth parak, great. And if you don't, go back. Fourth parak of Shabbos. Bama Isha Yotzas or Bama Ina Yotzas. That's the fifth parak of Shabbos. Lo Seitze Isha. And here a woman cannot go out with. Certain jewelry a woman can go out into Rishos HaRabim with. Certain ones she can't. The ones she cannot for fear that she's going to take it off and show it to others. Anyway, but again, structurally the Mishnah goes A, B, then B. V'chol Hecha Depasuk LaMefarish Bereisha. The Gemara says, but is that always true? And here we go. Here's a list of Mishnayos where we're going to go the other way. It's going to go A-B, followed then by A-B. V'atanan, yesh nochlin u'manchilin. Nochlin v'lo manchilin. There are those who inherit and can bequeath. There are those that inherit but do not bequeath. And then the Mishnah goes on to give examples. Ve'ela nochlin u'manchilin. And these are people who both can inherit and bequeath. And by the way, parenthetically, I mean, that's a Mishnah in Bechoros. Baba Basra. Mishnah Baba Basra, we'll get to that later in the Seder HaShas. But the example of that who can inherit and bequeath, of course, is a son. Yeah, anyway, but that structure, that Mishnah structurally is AB, followed then by an explanation of AB. Another example, one we did back in Yevamos. Yesh mutaros l'vaalein v'asuros l'vmeihem. There are those that are prohibited, let's start off, that are permitted to their husbands, but prohibited to their brother-in-law. Mutaros l'vmeihem v'asuros l'vaalein. Permitted to their brother-in-law, but are prohibited to their husbands. Ve'elu mutaros l'vaalein v'asuros l'vmeihem. And these people are permitted to their husbands and prohibited to their brother-in-law. And by the way, parenthetically, that Mishnah over there is describing a widow. And her brother-in-law is the Kohen Gadol. So she's perfectly within her right to be married to her husband. But if her husband dies, and now she has a mitzvah of Yibum, her brother-in-law is a Kohen Gadol, then that's no good. But again, structurally, how does that Mishnah work? That Mishnah is, heading is A, B, and then explanation is starts with A. Yesh tuna shemen v'lavona, shemen v'lo lavona. Mishnah menachos. There are those things, those menachos that require oil and the spiced frankincense. Shemen v'lo lavona. Some menachos require oil, but no lavona. Ve'elo tuna shemen v'lavona. And these are the menachos that require shemen lavona. So once again, A, B, now starting with A. Yesh tuna hagasha ve'ein tuna tenufa. Certain kabbanos require hagasha, presentation to the mizbeach, but not waving. Tenufa v'lo hagasha. Waving, but not hagasha, but not presentation. Ve'elo tunos hagasha. So again, another Mishnah that structurally is A, B, then followed with A, an explanation of A. Yesh b'chol anacha ve'ein b'chol l'kohen. There are those who are firstborn for inheritance, but not for the kohen, for pigeon and ben. B'chol l'kohen ve'ein b'chol anachla. There's a b'chor for a pigeon and ben, but not for nachla. And ezu b'chol anachla. And then the Mishnah goes on to explain. So, and structurally, it's A, B, followed then by A. Ve'en b'chor l'kohen. Okay, so, basically, what the Gemara wanted to argue is, our Mishnah starts with kinuyim as A, yados as B, and then goes and explains yados. So it's A, B, followed then by an explanation of B. And then later on, back to A. Meanwhile, there are a lot of Mishnayos that fit that style of A, B, then followed by B. And then there are a lot of Mishnayos that go A, B with an explanation of A and B. Why should that be? The Gemara starts off, we'll start the answer of the Gemara and we'll continue tomorrow. Halin, we are three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Mishum de afshaluhu mefarish ahu de pasak bereisha. So these, there are many halachas. So therefore, it opens up at the beginning. Okay. So the Gemara says, that is not perfectly true. Meaning you're going to find that sometimes it goes A, B, followed then by B, and there are not that many halachas. So the Gemara says, just by an example, the Mishnah in the fourth perek of, the fifth perek of Shabbos, talking about what the animal can go out with and the animal cannot go out with. Fifth or six. Okay. It's either five or six. So anyway, so that's an example. And there's not a lot of halachas. So Ella, Lav Davka, Zimna Mefarashu de Pasach Beresha, Zimna Nahu de Salak Mefarash Beresha. So then the Gemara says, as not really an elegant answer, the Gemara says, okay, it sometimes becomes arbitrary. Sometimes it goes AB followed then by BA, and sometimes it goes AB followed then by an explanation of A and then B. So the Gemara says, Lav Davka, there is no rhyme or reason, just sometimes it goes one way, sometimes it goes another way. That's suggestion number one. Tomorrow we're going to start with the second suggestion of the Gemara, and then we'll continue on to tomorrow's daf as well. Okay, let's pause over here and pick it up tomorrow with Daf Gimel.